Let us pray. Oh Father, open your word to us tonight, that we might receive it in our hearts, and it might be beneficial to our faith. Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 13 and 14. Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. I've spoken before on Peter, the letter of Peter, a letter of encouragement. It speaks about our main purpose, to praise God in all we do, to be holy people as God is holy. There are pictures there expressing what the church should be, living stones. Built into houses, a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation belonging to God. And yet in these verses, we have a very practical working out of being a Christian in this fallen world. Dearly beloved, we are called in verse 11. Dearly beloved. And we are I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. We are beloved to one another. We are beloved to God. And yet we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. In a difficult world. And Peter knows it is a difficult world. He's not talking about some imaginary world, some hypothetical point that he's trying to make. It is not some theory that he's thought up from some whimsical idea. But he's talking about practical living. Living that he has experienced himself first hand. And he tells us, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. For the Lord's sake. To every authority instituted among men. Let's think of those institutions. Who do we submit ourselves to? Yes, we submit ourselves to God. And to his church. And to the leaders in church. But those things of the world. To the government. We all have to submit to the government. We all have to pay our taxes. We all have to obey the laws of this land, the rules, the bylaws, those areas that affect our life directly and indirectly. And Peter has much advice on that. But who else do we submit to? We all work. We all have somebody who we have reported to in our past life. As we've toiled away to earn our bread, we have had management over us, and we've submitted to them. We have our schools, our colleges, our universities, and we've submitted to our teachers, and to our heads of department, and to our head teachers. We've submitted to those who've tried to keep the peace, the police. As they try to keep the rules and the laws of this country, we submit to them. We belong to organisations, whether professional or academic or voluntary organisations. Even some hobby groups we belong to, some sports groups, whether it be as a football fan or something like English Heritage, National Trust. We submit to their laws, their rules. If we belong to any of those, we submit ourselves to the rules of that group, and it is a group instituted by men. It doesn't matter what group it is, what degree of impact it's on our life, we obey those rules. We accept the rules. Otherwise there would be chaos. And we accept the punishment, or we should. I was watching a football match the other day, and the football players are meant to obey the rules. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't, and they get the punishment of that red card. And just in the media of the day, we have the thing about rugby, and they're twisting the rules, wanting to come off so somebody else can take their place. But it is not only these voluntary or sports things that they twist the rules. It happens within churches as well. All churches have rules, and rules are there for our benefit. Now, many of the church rules are based on Scripture, and yet the churches fail to follow them or disregard them. And it undermines our churches, especially in the sight of the world, who obey the institutions of the world. And they look at our churches sometimes and say, well, if you don't follow the rules, why should I? What a poor witness we are at times. We submit because God asks us to submit. Not asks us, He tells us to submit. And we should obey Him. We should submit to our governors, our king. We haven't a king, have we? Well, we have a queen. She is the head of state. It is the government that is in view. Governments are given for our benefit. Doesn't it say that in Romans 13? Let us turn to there and read that. Here is what God's word says in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. See, the government is set up by God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. The rulers are there to govern, to keep the peace. For us to do good, and not to do evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So, we follow the laws of our government. But you might say nowadays, look at our government. It is in disarray. Every day there is something new wrong with it. As soon as you look in the media, turn the telly on, you look in the papers, there is something wrong with the government. And they say it is falling apart. It is failing to govern. Do we then say we do not follow the laws? Don't we then become a bigger mess? Don't we become more chaos? Should we then pray against the government? No, we shouldn't. For it says in Scripture, we should pray for it. In 1 Timothy 2, let's turn there. 1 Timothy 2. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We need to pray for our governments. When they are in a mess, we need to pray for them, that they will seek God's guidance, that will they seek His instruction, that they might rule with compassion and justice. We need to hold them up in our prayers. So when in the media it says, what a terrible mess it is, what mistakes they are making, we need to pray that they won't make the mistakes. That they won't be unjust or uncompassionate. You might say, well, why don't we just let them fall? What does Peter know about our government of the time? Well, he was under a totally different government. He was under Rome. And one of the emperors around that time was Nero. And we have that story of Nero fiddling while Rome burnt. Doesn't that ring some bells? Government fiddling. And our economy burning. And yet, still, Peter says, obey. Why? For the Lord's sake. Not for the government's sake. For the Lord's sake. We follow the rules, not for fear of punishment, for that is what authority can do. That is what government can do. It bears the sword, as Paul would say, for punishment. We can expect punishment for doing wrong. But we do not do it for fear of that punishment. We do obedience to the law for the love of God. That we might be a righteous example for those that see us. That through our example, others may come to know Christ. They will look at us and say, why are you obeying that law? It's a difficult law to obey. We should never undermine the law. There are some laws that are very difficult. They may seem unjust, uncompassionate. But still, we are told to obey. One of the worst laws of the last century during my lifetime was probably the poll tax. But we are told to obey and pay. Didn't Christ pay? Render unto Caesar, he said, what is Caesar's. Let's be clear about this. We follow the law, but only as far as it obeys God's law. For if he breaks God's law, then we cannot obey. For it denies God, and we must not heed it. Peter was under no illusions. He knew what that meant. He knew Christians at this time were demanded by the law to burn incense to the emperor. It was an act of worship of the emperor. And yet we know, we are told not to worship any other God but God himself. And some would not burn the incense, and this would end up in their death. In some countries nowadays, you are not allowed to preach the gospel. And yet, as Christians, we are commanded. Commanded to tell people about Jesus. Commanded to tell people about salvation. Peter himself was imprisoned for such. And when he was brought out and says, you will be released if you do not preach anymore. He says, I can't. I can't. I must preach. We pray for our brethren in other countries that are under persecution, that suffer because of their faith. They obey God's law. They meet together. They worship together. Even when their law says they will be killed for it. We might think we are free from such persecution in this country, that we can preach freely. But it is getting more and more difficult. Only the other month, there was trouble in Manchester. Let me read you a testimony of somebody in Manchester who was preaching on the streets. This is only from July this year. Today, we were witnessing and preaching in Manchester, as being our tradition for several years now. Today, we were approached on more than one occasion by several police officers who tried to intimidate us into leaving because of several complaints that we were doing, what we were doing was offensive to people. We mentioned that we simply read the Bible or quoted the Bible, to which one of them replied, well, you should only read the bits that don't offend people. You see the sort of pressures that we are coming under. Some police are misusing and misunderstanding the laws of the land. It says we continue to preach regardless of this intimidation. We asked what law we had broken, were told none. But if people got offended, we would face being arrested under public disorder legislation. The police even began recording what we were saying and doing, and even confiscated some of the literature we were distributing. And it's their belief that this form of harassment can only get worse, that could end street preaching in this country, and certainly could curtail even freedom of preaching in churches. We must not bend. Yes, we submit ourselves to the laws of this land. It is difficult at times. But Peter makes it clear through the scriptures that we submit to our Father. He goes on. In verse 18. He says, servants. And that word servants actually means slaves. Be subject to your master with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. We are to submit. We do not have slaves nowadays. So perhaps we should look towards our duty in our workplace. Therefore, masters become our management, our supervisors, for those that are in charge. And to a large degree, we do not suffer as slaves did. For they had no freedom. But sometimes they suffered from the lash. And yet, Peter exhorts them to obey their master. They are meant to be witnesses of Christ to their masters. And so are we. When we think something is unfair in our workplace, yes, we can protest peacefully. We can do that with laws. And yet, we still obey. We do not follow the example of this world. We see those in public life, our MPs, who are twisting and changing the rules that they work under. But we do not have that liberty. We should be honest in all that we do and say. I was at a works meeting. It was the yearly works meeting. It was a part of an encouragement to make us work better, to feel enthused in what we were doing. We were urged to follow the company philosophy. And much was good. Be honest. Be diligent. Reduce waste. But, they said, so the shareholder can earn some money. And I thought, I do not do it for the shareholder. I don't do it for the profit of the company. I do it for God. As each one of us must. We should be those examples, those witnesses. Sometimes we come to the times where we suffer for our stance, our belief. Unjustly we believe. And yet, God says it goes to our credit. In verse 20. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your own faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Yes. There will be those hard times when we follow the rules and we find it difficult. It causes us stress and pain. But God smiles on us and accepts us. And it pleases Him. For we are a witness to Him. There is a philosophy in Christian circles that suffering comes from sin. Sometimes it does, but in this case, it does not. We suffer for the truth of the gospel. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps. We follow Christ's example, for he suffered, and we suffer. We suffer for our faith and our belief in him. I sometimes imagine that as he was lashed, each lash that tore into his flesh was one more sin that he took upon himself. He took our wounds. And as one lash went, the sin is removed. Until finally, he died upon that cross. And finally, all our sins were forgiven as he died on that cross. We too will receive lashes of abuse and persecution. But we must endure for Christ's sake. We thank God that in this country we still have a freedom. But our brothers and sisters suffer in other countries. We live in a fallen world. And yet God still intercedes for us. He still wants order in our lives. He instigates the use of man's institutions to bring about our salvation and their salvation. We in turn must uphold our faith, and in the way we respond, we should be a witness to those about us, even in the most harsh of systems. Let us pray.